ખર્જુર દંભમાં ગો ગોપાલ વિતોરંતુ સબલ પ્રવિશધરી.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the Vrindavana forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates and jambu fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, and accompanied by Sri Balarama, entered that forest to enjoy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is many descriptions of Lord Krishna entering the forest. Here, in this particular leela, his entering the forest after the rainy season is being described. In the past, we have heard his entering the forest during the Sharad season. Every day he would enter the forest with the cows, the gopas and Sri Balaram. Evam means all those descriptions that were said as of now in this chapter. Evam vanantad varishtita. Evam meaning, till now Sukadev Goswami has been giving so many descriptions in the earlier shlokas. So evam means all those descriptions. He's saying that all these were happening during the rainy season, and the forest was thus resplendent. Vrindavan was full of trees with ripe dates, jambu fruits, and all sorts of flowers and fruits. Krishna used to climb the trees and do various tricks to pluck these fruits whenever they were seen. But Balaramji would stop him. Therefore, Balaramji is called Sankarshan. So, Krishna is entering the forest to enjoy. How? How is he entering? Along with Balaram. And as he was entering, he is surrounded by the cows and he is surrounded by the gopas on all sides. Everyone wants to see his face. Some of them were in front of him and they would look backwards towards him as they walk. Not only the gopas, even the cows, they would be walking in front of him and they would often look back to see his face. Their minds were stolen by him, and hence the word Harihi is used. One who steals the mind. Hari meaning one who steals the mind. Pravishad Harihi is used here. Who entered? Hari entered. Every word is very important. Why is he mentioned as Hari here? Because he is always attractive. All attractive. But especially when he enters the forest, he appears even more attractive. He steals the hearts of all the cows, the gopas, the trees, the leaves, the vines, the birds, everyone. One is, he does not wear his full dhoti in the forest. He looks so attractive when he wears his kachani, that lower garment which is up to the knee level only. Because that particular type of garment is best for the forest. Since he has to jump around, he climbs on the trees, he dances. So the dhoti, which is the half dhoti up to the knee level, is very suitable for the forest. And he looks especially attractive in that particular garment. Secondly, in the forest he is even more attractive because at any moment he would begin to dance. Unpredictable. Krishna and Balarama would just start dancing any time and all the gopas would sit around and watch and enjoy. And even the peacocks would dance around, all around them. Krishna and Balarama are dancing in the center. The peacocks are all dancing all around them. And sometimes even the gopa boys dance around him. So much of fun. Till today there has not been even one such dance in Vaikuntha. Not only Vaikuntha, even in Dwaraka there is no dance. How will he dance there? He has to fight here, he has to fight there. So many things he has to do. Where is the time to dance? Where is the environment to dance? But in Raj, he is in full bliss. The most prominent part is his playing the flute. The gopis are describing this flute playing of Krishna. They are not describing what he is playing on the flute. They are not saying what he is saying in the flute. But they are describing what is happening to every living being when the flute is being played. And that is called Venu Gita, song of the flute. Sometimes the gopis give so much of abuses to the flute. Sometimes the flute, you know, out of feeling hurt, the flute would sometimes sing to Radharani, "Oh Radhe, why are you so upset with me? I am your dasi. Krishna is using me to call you. But I am your dasi. Why are you angry? Why are you so angry?" In reality, this is actually Krishna who is saying through the flute what all he has to do to appease Radha. He also has to stand bent in three places. So much he has to do to please Radharani. So now the flute leela, Venu Gita, the flute leela is the most prominent leela, very very important leela. In Vraj, Krishna can never be identified without the flute. A very rasika poet, Nagari Das, says in his poem, "Krishna, if you don't have flute with you and if you don't wear the peacock feather, then I will not even talk to you. I have nothing to do with you." He means to say that he has nothing to do with Krishna. He has to do with the flute and the peacock feather and such ornaments of Krishna, which is only in Raj. So Krishna is entering the forest, playing the flute. In Vrindavan, if Krishna has loved anyone too much, it is the cows. He calls himself the servant of the cows. And he is also called Gopal, one who maintains the cows. Generally, people consider themselves owner of their cows. But Krishna considers himself servant of the cows. Now in the next shloka, the description of the cows is being mentioned. What is the reaction of the cows? What is the bhav the cows have towards Krishna?
Dhenavo mandakaminya udho bharena bhuyasa yayur bhagavata huta drutam prityasnutastanaha.
Translation: the cows had to move slowly because of their weighty milk bags, but they quickly ran to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as he called them, their affection for him causing their udders to become wet. Krishna would call the cows. Sometimes he would call them directly by their names, or sometimes he would call them with the flute. when he calls directly, he would call them, however, with his voice or through the flute, he would call them by their respective names. Hey Gange, Hey Jamune, Hey Dhavali, Hey Kajal, Hey Pingala. In this way he would call them. And generally, the cows are Mandagamini. Dhenavo Mandagaminya. Mandagamini means one who moves very slowly. But when Krishna calls them, they become Drutam Pritya. Drutam meaning they run at a very high speed. And when they run at such a high speed, their milk flows out of their udders. The cows have Vatsalya Bhav towards Krishna, that is motherly love towards Krishna. And because of this, for one whole year, Krishna had drank milk directly from their udders, right from their udders into his mouth. The next shloka is describing his entering the forest, what he sees.
Vanaukasah pramodita vanarajer madhuchyatah jaladhara girer nadat asannadat rishikuhah.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord saw the joyful aborigine girls of the forest, the trees dripping sweet sap and the mountain waterfalls, whose resounding indicated that there were caves nearby. So when Krishna would enter the forest, he saw all the Vanaukasah Pramodita. Pramodita means extremely joyful. Why joyful? Because upon seeing Krishna, they all become very happy. Another reason for their joy is, with the fall of the rains, the forest dwellers, the forest creatures, they all become extremely joyful. Hence, Vanaukasah Pramudita, he saw the joyful Vanaukasa. Vanaukasa meaning Vanavasis, like the aborigines, the trees, the mountains, the deer, the birds, all the animals, and all the creatures living in the forest are the Vanavasis. Vanaukasa, they all became happy. When Krishna enters, the trees would have their hair standing and their saps would drip out. Their flowers would fall down. They would bend down with their heavy fruits. In this way, the trees would experience happiness. And there would be waterfalls on the mountains. And that would be resounded in the caves, nearby caves. All this happens in the forest out of happiness when Lord Krishna enters.
Vanaspati krore guhayam cha vivarsati nirvishan bhagavan lene kandamula phalashanaha.
Translation. When it rained, the Lord would sometimes enter a cave or the hollow of a tree to play and to eat roots and fruits. Sometimes it would rain heavily and unexpectedly. So Krishna would run fast and take shelter of a tree or a cave. And his sakhas would also run into the caves or different trees. And when they are in the forest, they would eat the forest roots and fruits. Even we have done this in our childhood, in our villages. Even today, the children in the villages and the forests, they do this. It is so much of fun to pluck the sweet fruits hanging on the trees and eat them. So Krishna and his sakhas would have been eating. They would be eating and suddenly there would be a heavy rain. And the sakhas, they would be eating the forest roots and fruit plucked from the tree. And suddenly, there would be a heavy rain, and then they would run into the hollow tree, the hollow of the tree, or sometimes they would run into the pool. The fruit would be so sweet, it would give them so much pleasure, and then there's so much of fun when the rain comes. Fun for them to run into the caves and sit hiding in the caves and eat the fruits, or maybe sit in the hollow of the trees and eat the fruits. And sometimes Krishna would have so much fun making jokes with Madhumangal. He would try to make Madhumangal greedy, saying, look, how sweet, it is so delicious, this fruit is so yummy. And Madhumangal would say, Gimme, let me also try. Can I also taste? And Krishna would reply, Hey, you are a Brahmana. How can you eat my jhuta? Jhuta meaning leftover. In this way, whole day they would eat fruits and have fun in the rainy season, in the rains, in the caves, and in the hollow of the tree. Later in the noon, they would eat curd rice, which was sent by Yashoda Maya to them. During the day, they would eat Kandamoola Phalasana, and in the noon, they would eat curd rice. So this Kandamoola Phal, these are all not but from the forest. From the market. It is directly from the forest. The roots, the fruits of the forest, they would eat and enjoy. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna would take his meal of boiled rice and yogurt sent from home in the company of Lord Sankarsana and the cowherd boys who regularly ate with him. They would all sit down to eat on a large stone near the water. There is a rule that all other works can be done separately, but food should be had together. So Krishna would have his meals together with his friends. They would clean the stone and put their food on the stone and they would eat. They would sit somewhere, a place which is near the water, so that it is easy to drink the water while eating. Krishna would make Balarama sit and he would serve Balarama. He would also make his friends sit and he would serve all of them. Dadi Odanam, it is met here, Dadi Odanam means it is the food which has more quantity of yogurt in it. Mother Yashoda would send the food sometimes in between at intervals through her servants to the forest. And other than that, she would also send food along with Krishna when he leaves to the forest. So yogurt rice is Dadi Odanam, yogurt rice is being mentioned here, which means that the yogurt rice would be the most prominent item. It does not mean that he had only yogurt rice. He would also have dal and vegetables, sabji, along with it. But the main meal would be yogurt rice. And that is why Sukadeva Goswami has mentioned the Diodhanam, that is yogurt rice. The most important thing is that he eats with his friends only. Even if he steals the butter, he would eat it with his friends. And when would he eat? When the cows would have eaten their grass. After that, he would eat. And everything that they would eat would all be prasadam. It would be offered by Yashoda Maya to Lord Vishnu at home and then sent to them. And when Krishna would try to serve the Gopa friends, you know, the Gopas would be may not be very attentive. They may be looking here and there, engrossed in some things in the forest. And Krishna would make them, come sit, chalo, sit, sit, let's have food, chalo. And then he would serve them. And then Balramji would come and pull the plate from his hand, and which Krishna is trying to serve, and he would try to serve. And that is why he is called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means when Krishna tries to do something, he stops Krishna from doing it in a service attitude. So therefore, that name, the word Sankarshan.
प्रारूप श्रीयम चतां विक्षा सर्व काल सुखावहं भगवान पूजयां चते आत्म शक्ति प्रदेशिता.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna watched the contented bulls, calves and cows sitting on the green grass and grazing with closed eyes. And he saw that the cows were tired from the burden of their heavy milk bags. Thus observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavana's rainy season, a perennial source of great happiness, the Lord offered all respect to that season, which was expanded from his own internal potency. So Krishna would eat only after he would see that the cows have eaten and they are resting and they are sitting and chewing the grass which they are eating. In the rainy season, the cows would finish grazing very quickly because the grasses would be there, very long grasses. And they would quickly graze and then they would rest. And the cows have a habit that once they eat once and then they bring the food from their stomach back into their mouths and they keep chewing it for long hours. And Krishna would become happy seeing the cows, the bulls and the calves all contented. He would enjoy the beauty of the rainy season. Every season has its own pleasure. Summer season might appear tiresome, but it has its own pleasure. There is a pleasure of being able to sleep in the nights on the top of the terrace of one's own homes. In summer, there is also the fun of wearing wet clothes and getting cool air. Once you wear wet clothes, then you feel very cool. Similarly, every season has its own beauty. In rainy season, when there would be thunder and lightning, that has its own fun. Sometimes Krishna would close his eyes and ears and show that he's so fearful. He feels so much of fear with the thunder and lightning. He enjoys doing all this. Sarva bhuta mudavaham, meaning rainy season gives happiness to every living being. Even the devtas feel happy with the Varsha Ritu or the rainy season. It gives pleasure to every living being in all the three worlds. The rainy season is compared to mother because she nourishes every living being. Therefore, Krishna gives so much of respect to this particular season. The Lord offered all respect to that season. Bhagavan Pujayam Chakri. Actually, this Varsha Ritu or the rainy season has expanded from his own internal potency. Atma Shakti Upa Brimhitam. It is expanded from his own internal potency. Still, it is not something which is different from him. But still, the Lord enjoys every aspect of the season and he offers respect to the season.
Sadaj Samabhavadya Praswatsambha Parashanila.
Translation. When Lord Rama and Lord Keshava were thus dwelling in Vrindavana, the fall season arrived, when the sky is cloudless, the water is clear, and the wind gentle. So now, Sukadev Goswami is going to relish the Sharad season. When the Sharad season comes, the clouds disappear, the sky becomes clear, water becomes clear, and the wind blows gently. So now, till now, the rainy season was serving Krishna. In Vrindavan, the seasons serve Krishna. It is not like in the normal material world, one season after the other comes as per the rule of nature. Here, the Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, everything is Atma Shakti Upabrimhitam. It is all expanded from Krishna's internal potency, and they all appear to serve Krishna. So till now we heard the description of rainy season, how rainy season served Krishna, and now Sukadev Goswami is going to describe how the Sharad season serves Krishna. Rasik Shekhar, Krishna enjoys different varieties of rasa. Swachambu. In Sharad season, that is the fall season, it is Swachambu. All the lakes, the kund, the sarovar, the rivers, all are filled with clear water. And apaurusha anila. Anila means wind. Apaurusha anila, the wind is very gentle. Krishna's leelas, the seasons play a very important role. Just like in Rasa Leela, the description of the Sharad season shows how everything, the moon, the mallika flowers, the wind, were all serving Lord Krishna's leelas. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The autumn season, which regenerated the lotus flowers, also restored the various bodies of water to their original purity. Just as the process of devotional service purifies the minds of the fallen yogis when they return to it. Sometimes, when one would get diverted by Maya, then simply by putting oneself back into Shravanam, Kirtanam and the various devotional services, one immediately gets purified. Sometimes one may fall sick and is unable to do bhakti. Sometimes one may fall into asat sangha, bad association, and thus fall away. There could be various reasons for a person's mind to be deviated away from Krishna. At such times, the best thing to do is to be engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The biggest thing Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahe. Remain in Sadhu Sangha. Because we are all in this material world, Maya Jagat. So we could get swayed away by any reason, be it health, be it bad company, be it anything. There was a devotee in Vrindavan. His name was Vyas. He says,
Kahu ko bal bhajan hai, kahu ko achar, Vyas bharose kumari ke sovat tan pasar.
Meaning? One who has faith and wants to do bhajan can do bhajan. And one who wants to do sadhana, whatever he wants, he can do. But I sleep here in Vrindavan at the feet of Radharani. What he means to say is, people around can do their bhajan, their sadhanas, but I sleep here in Vrindavan because I am at the feet of my Radharani. What he means to say is that he is at Vrindavan. He doesn't mean that he's sleeping all the time. He means to say that he is in Vrindavan and he's near Radharani, so he doesn't rely on bhajan and sadhanas. Now the biggest thing is, how much can we trust on sadhana? How much can sadhana do for us? Sadhana does not take us to Krishna. It is only Krishna's mercy that takes us to Krishna. It is not sadhana. It is through sadhana Krishna becomes pleased. And it is only when he is pleased that we can reach him. We do sadhana, and when our sadhana gives pleasure to him, then he showers his mercy and he takes that living being back into his abode. So it is a truth that sadhana cannot take us to Krishna. Just like that small little squirrel was helping Lord Ram, could he with his insignificant efforts achieve what Lord Ram wanted to achieve? Never. But the Lord was pleased with his insignificant efforts. So similarly, when someone does bhajan, devotional services, sadhana, Krishna becomes pleased and then he is called home. But one thing is sure, that simply with sadhana one cannot achieve Krishna. There's a nice story on this. One sadhaka wanted to see Krishna. He did lots of bhajans, lots of austerities. And he would think that when Krishna comes, I will ask for this and this and this and this. And he waited and waited and waited. And he would wonder why Krishna is not coming. So one day, Krishna appears to him. And he tells him, my dear Bhakta, please ask me for a boon. So when he's been asked for a boon, this sadhaka is thinking, I have performed so much of austerities. So now let me take some time to think and decide what to ask. So he was thinking, he was taking some time to think. As he was thinking, suddenly Mother Earth appears and she tells the Lord, oh my dear Lord, whatever bhajan he did, I am also a party to it, because he would sit on me, he would walk on me, he would do so this and this on me, and then he would do his bhajan. So then the Lord smiled and he asked the sadhaka, is she also entitled to your fruits? So he replied, whatever you feel right, my dear Lord, I don't know. Then, next a tree appeared, saying, my dear Lord, he was doing his bhajan under my shelter. Even I need a part of his fruit. Then, after some time, a peepal tree appeared. Then, after some time, Varun Devata appeared, the Lord of Water. Then after that, Agnidev, Lord of Fire, came. In this way, one after the other, thousands and thousands came. Then Krishna asked the sadhaka, how many parts are there in your boon? So he was counting, I will ask for this and I will ask for that. What sadhana can we do? Can we depend on our sadhana? No. We have to depend on the mercy of the Lord. Only by His mercy anything can happen. Not by any amount of our sadhana. But we should not become dejected and give up. This particular shloka is giving us this hope that that water which got dirty during the rains has got cleared during the Sharad season. And what is our dirt? Our dirt is grihavesh, attachment to family life. And what is a yog for this? The yog for this is satsang and devotional services. Bhakti yoga is such that it can purify the entire universe. All other yogas have limited purifications. They are limited to the person performing it. Moreover, if the person performing it falls down, it's very easy for them to fall down also, and many of them fall. But if they fall down, who's there among them to save them? But that's not the case with Bhakti Yoga. It purifies the entire universe. Bhakti Yoga is the best of all. So water gets impure. Water in its natural state is pure. But when it gets mixed with something, it becomes muddy and impure. Similarly, living entities in our natural state, we are pure. The natural state of living entity is to be a servant of Krishna. But when it gets mixed up with other consciousness, the living being becomes impure. And this shloka is saying that by engaging or re-engaging in devotional service, that living entity can become pure once again. Translation to this shloka once again. The autumn season which regenerated the lotus flowers also restored the various bodies of water to their original purity, just as the process of devotional service purifies the minds of the fallen yogis when they return to it. So we should depend on Krishna. Just like a child is walking with the mother, the child is not holding the mother should hold the child. So if the child falls, the mother will automatically lift the child. In this way, we should depend on Krishna. It is Krishna who is taking us. What can we do? What can our sadhana do? Translation. Autumn cleared the sky of clouds. Let the animals get out of their crowded living conditions, cleaned the earth of its covering of mud, and purified the water of contamination in the same way that loving service rendered to Lord Krishna frees the members of the four spiritual orders from their respective troubles. So here, the various aspects of the autumn is describing the various ashramas. First, it is saying autumn clears the sky of clouds. Now, clouds in the sky denotes Brahmacharya ashram. What are the troubles in the four spiritual orders? In Brahmacharya ashram, as per the Vedas, it is very distressful. They have to face lots of troubles. They have to follow so many rigid rules. And they have to do so much of seva for the Guru, like filling up water for the Guru, bringing wood for the Guru. The boys get tired. They have to beg food and come and give it to the Guru. And if they forget the Guru a bit, then they have to starve the whole day. So much of misery. But when one develops bhakti for Krishna, then one gets freed of these miseries. One does not have to do these strict rules and this rigid seva. One does not have to follow all these things. These four ashramas, that is Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas ashramas, they are meant to create bhakti for Krishna. Once the bhakti is developed, then there is no need for the person to follow so many rules. Just like a person who has already crossed the river by a boat does not have to sit in the boat again. He will leave the boat. It is not right for him to continue to sit in the boat. But people say, this is dharma, this is niyama, etc., etc. If a student has developed relish in the chanting of the holy names, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus bhakti has developed in him, even up to the extent to the higher limits of running away to Vrindavan, then it is not right for him to engage for such a student to engage in such a rigid seva and such tight niyams. So now another aspect is of the autumn season. Autumn season lets the animals get out of their crowded living conditions. Animals crowded represents the grihastha ashrama. Grihastha ashrama is one particular ashrama where one has to live with so many kinds of people, and that too all together. That too, each one with different ideas, different views, different nature, and that too they all have to be kept together. They have to be maintained that they stay together. So it is such a difficult ashrama. Sometimes there is lack of wealth. Still everyone has to be fed. And even after all this, one has to hear faults for everything that is being done. Who can save one from such a misery? Only Krishna Bhakti. How? Because one's attachment gets reduced and one is saved from the knots of Griha Bandhan, and one finally gets on to Vanaprastha. The next aspect of the autumn being mentioned in this particular shloka, autumn cleaned the earth of its covering of mud. Earth covered with mud represents the Vanaprastha ashram. In this ashram, one has to control his eating habits. There are also lots of rules, like one should not cut nails, one should not cut hair, one should eat the roots and shoots of the forest only, and one has to do lots and lots of austerities. But once bhakti is there, then all this is not to be followed. Rather, he would eat prasadam. He does not have to do austerities. Why? Because he has already received the results of all these austerities. When bhakti comes, it means he has already received the result of all these tapasyas. Then he doesn't have to follow such strict rules and regulations. Rather, he, in order to please Krishna, he would dress up well and he would do all sorts of pure Vaishnava activities. Next aspect of the autumn is, the autumn purified the water of contamination. Now, this is the sannyas ashrama. The biggest misery in this ashrama is that even after becoming a sannyasi, the previous material desires remain. The previous taste of the material nature remains, and this is the biggest distress for a sannyasi. But when bhakti is there, automatically these desires just get washed away. Just like autumn clears, purifies the water of its contamination. So the dharma of the brahmacharis is Vedadhyayan. Vedadhyayan means studying of scriptures. Dharma of grihastha is Kriya Yoga. Dharma of vanaprastha is austerities. And the dharma of sannyasis is Samadhi. Sannyasis also have other troubles. They have to live alone. They no talking with anyone, and they have to wait to leave the body. Without talking, they would not talk and they would wait to leave his body. But when he has bhakti, when he towards Krishna, then all these troubles don't come in the way. But once bhakti comes, all these rules do not apply. Even to the sannyasi, he would live alone. He would want to live alone. But even if there is a crowd, he would still want to live in the dham, and he would become connected to the Lord. Hare Krishna.